You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The best sport on the planet. Oh, the action. The speed. The hits. I love the fights, the raucous crowds, yes, badminton, no, dill holes, hockey.
This is the Two-Pad Stack,
where we dive deep into all things NHL and then some. If it's the Boston Bruins, we talk about the ups, the downs, and everything in between, but we're not stopping there. We're also tossing in some Patriots pigskin, gaming glory, dad jokes, and all things pop culture. Because why the hell not? It's our show. As two diehard Bruins fans who also happen to strap on the pads in beer league hockey, they know a thing or two about the game. Whether you're a longtime hockey lunatic like us or just looking for a good time, you're in the right place. This is the Two-Pad Stack. Now your hosts, Ace and Burge.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Two-Pad Stack. Episode 37. As you notice, I am not Ace. I am here sitting in the lead chair. You can call it the a-hole chair, whatever you want to call it, as talk radio would call it. As always, we are brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. DraftKings, promo code THPN. SeatGeek, promo code 2PadStackPod, the number 2 PadStackPod. And once again, Iron and Steel Threads, we announced that last week, our new collaboration with them. Use promo code 2PADSTACK10, get 10% off your order. They got a lot of great apparel over there, great merch, goalie stuff, girls hockey, some great, there's a hoodie over there that has Boston hockey on it. I'm all for that. I'll probably be picking one of those up myself. With me today, a previous guest on the Two-Pad Stack Pod from way back in the early days, from episode 5, my good pal, fellow goalie, went to the same college as me, well after me because I'm an old clown, Curtis Blix. What's up, buddy? Welcome back. Thanks for filling in for Ace. I know Ace is very grateful that you're here today. How you doing today, buddy?
Doing good. And I wasn't too far behind you there at Daniel Webster, the old alma mater. Just yeah, rest in peace. Exactly. Thanks for the student loan money back.
there you go.
I'm doing good, man. Really, really happy to be here and excited to talk about Bruins.
Dude, me too. Playoff season is here. How can we go wrong with the playoffs? And I got to correct myself. I'm already messing this up for Ace. It's episode 38. Ace is going to yell at me for this when he goes to edit it and listen to it. He's going to yell at me. I can't count. I'm a goalie. I've been hitting the head with too many pucks. You know what that's like. It's playoff season, dude. Watching these games over the past, we're recording on Sunday night here, watching them today and yesterday. Isn't it so great to have playoff hockey back, man? The intensity is so different.
It is incredible. There's nothing like it. I mean, throughout all sports, really, there's just... I mean, you saw it in the first game of the playoffs, the early slate there before the Bruins game. The intensity just ratchets up immediately. There's just more physicality. There's scrums after every single whistle for seemingly no reason, just because it's just so intense. Emotions are so high.
You know, for me, it's hearing the difference in the crowd that really, like, I like to listen to these games with the volume up a little bit, because like you want to, I kind of like to feel like I'm there. Obviously I'm not, but you can hear the crowd cheering and like the reactions after every close play, like the whole building reacts to it. You don't get that in regular season hockey, and that intensity, you could feel it sitting on your couch or your chair at home. And I'm just so thankful it's back. It's the best time of the playoffs too, because there's like three or four games every single day. You get your whole fill of it. And, you know, if you know, the Bruins go deep and there's only like a game every other day, it's kind of like, there's a void here. I wish we were earlier in the playoffs and we had so much hockey to watch, because it's so incredible to take in.
Definitely. Definitely. It's like you said, this is the best time. I mean, today itself, there's four games on. I mean, you could watch hockey from noon until like 1 a.m. Eastern, you know, I mean, like literally 13 hours of hockey straight. So you can't complain about that. And, you know, even if the Bruins don't make it into the dog days, it's still exciting, obviously. But you're right, when there's, you know, one game, even, you know, when the cup final starts, sometimes now they're having 2 days in between games, and it's just a huge void in between. So these are the best times of the playoffs for sure.
The anticipation is killer.
Yes, absolutely.
But we already did have our first taste of Boston Bruins hockey in the playoffs this year at home at TD Garden last night. Unbelievable game if you're a Bruins fan. The Bruins end up defeating their, I don't even really want to call them a rival at this point, because it's been, I can't even do the math, 60 something, almost 60 years, a little over 60 years since the Maple Leafs have beaten the Bruins in the playoffs. It just seems like they've met, I think this is what, four times in the last 8 years or something like that in the first round of the playoffs. And game one was kind of the same as what we're kind of used to seeing with the Bruins. The Bruins end up winning this game 5-1. It was never in doubt. The Bruins took the lead like a minute and a half into the game on the first shot of the game. Johnny Beecher with an unbelievable finish from Jesper Boqvist. Unbelievable play on a 2-on-1. And there was no looking back from that point, from my perspective. A couple of things that stood out to me was the guy I did not want to see start this game, and that was Jeremy Swayman, was outstanding. And we'll get into him in a little bit. But what were your thoughts watching, you know, the first game of the Bruins playoff?
Well, first of all, I mean, just the excitement of finally getting to Bruins playoff hockey. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I don't think a lot of people were 1,000% sure that the Bruins would be in the playoffs, you know, myself included. You know, I thought they might kind of squeak in wild card one type of thing, you know, fourth in the division type of thing. But it's been locked up, you know, not actually locked up, but it's been a foregone conclusion that they'd be in the playoffs for a long time now. So the anticipation has been really high, and just so happy to be here. I mean, like you said, the intensity is just incredible. The fans were into it from puck drop, probably even before. And just so excited for this time of the year.
Absolutely. And, you know, it seemed like it was such a foregone conclusion that the only thing that we were really concerned about was A, playing good hockey going into the playoffs, and B, staying healthy. The play going into the playoffs, I was very, very concerned going into this game, considering how they finished out the season, those last two games with Washington and Ottawa. I understand they're probably taking their foot off the gas a little bit, trying not to get hurt, maybe trying a couple of different things out in those games. But it, to me, I think it was Washington where they had like 8 shots through almost 2 periods. And it was like, dude, what are you? I think you were at that game, weren't you?
I was at that game. Yeah. I live a lot closer to the Caps than the Bruins these days. So I was at that game, and man, I think it felt worse in person than seeing it live on TV. The Bruins just, they didn't bring their A game, and not surprising, like you said, they definitely were not putting out the same, you know, effort. I don't want to say effort level, but just the desperation that the Caps were showing trying to make it into the playoffs. And that, I think that's only natural towards the end of the year. And, you know, I mean, I remember also thinking like, man, Brad Marchand, seems like he hasn't been on the ice at all, you know, taking 30 second shifts. And that's, they're probably just resting him and making sure nobody gets hurt. So I totally agree with you. I was definitely concerned coming into this playoff series, with the level of play, even for the last couple of weeks. I mean, they had a great game against Florida, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, but since then it's been, their play really dropped off. But obviously they proved us wrong last night.
Last night they did. You know, before we go further into this game, we've talked a lot about on this podcast about this team being Jekyll and Hyde throughout the season. I wanted to get your take on that before we dive into the you know, breaking down game one and then, you know, moving forward and into, you know, talking about the rest of the series. But did you get that same vibe? Ace and I have been like talking about this for seems like probably almost 3 months now about this team, where one day they look outstanding, the next day they look good, but they blow a lead late in the period, which seemed to be a regular occurrence throughout the regular season this year. And then other days they just didn't have it. And obviously having that kind of that Hyde show up the last two games of the year, where you're like, you're going to the playoffs, almost kind of, I don't want to say they were reeling, but like, you kind of got your tail between your legs because you just got beat A by a playoff team and then B by a team that's been in the basement since October. So like, did you get that feel from this team this year?
Definitely. It's been the whole season. They really, like, I mean, you described it aptly with, they either had it or they didn't. And really just from the jump of every game, and seemingly they didn't do a great job of like, I feel like in seasons prior, you'd see a Bruins team that maybe they'd come out flat for the first, you know, maybe even the first period, but they'd come into their game. And after the first intermission, you know, whether it was, you know, whoever yelling at them, right, someone in the room or the head coach at the time, they'd kind of get it together. But this year it's really been, if they don't have it from the jump, it's just not going to be a good night for the entire game for the most part. And that's really what you saw against the Caps and the Ottawa Senators. They started slow and they never got their feet going throughout the entire game.
Yeah. This game was a little different. They got out to it, or like I said, in the intro to this, talking about this game here, I think it was 2.5 minutes into the game. They were up 1-0. First shot of the game, Toronto came out of this game, flying out of the gate. Jeremy Swayman had to make a couple of really nice saves to kind of withstand that pressure early on in the first minute or two of this game. But then a bad play by, I think it was Edmondson and Ryan Reeves for the Maple Leafs. Edmondson pinched, Reeves went 4-2, didn't cover back, and it was an easy 2-on-1 play the other way. The second period, again, was all Boston. It was all Boston. Again, the Leafs were getting their chances. The Leafs outshot the Bruins this entire game pretty significantly, 36-24. You know, the Bruins did at times get hemmed down in their own end. But that was the type of stuff that I expected to see from this team the entire season, where they're just basically going to – they may get outshot, they may get outplayed, but they are going to lock down. Their goaltending is going to live up to its expectation. The defense is going to, you know, take care of cleaning out the business in front of the net. And they're going to grind – again, we thought they were going to grind their way to goals. That wasn't the case this, you know, in this game. But – their offense would score enough to win the game. And this one, again, after the second period, I'm like, I'll be straight honest with you. I had to work at 6 a.m. this morning. After the second period last night, it's like, I'm going to bed. This game's over. And as I'm like brushing my teeth, going to bed, my wife comes to me and she's like, the Leafs scored 1.5 minutes into the third period. I'm like, well, I guess I'm not going to go yet. And I stayed up for another, like, I don't know, 5 minutes of game time. I'm like, this game's over. I'm going to bed, you know? So it was kind of a stress-free game. I don't expect this to continue. What were your thoughts on how the Bruins played? Anything particular stand out to you?
I think really their defensive structure for the most part was the best part of the game tonight. Other than them, I mean, also, finally their power play broke through with two, you know, I want to say simple goals. They were just nothing fancy, you know, putting pucks on net, taking what the penalty kill of Toronto gave them. But yeah, the biggest point being their defensive structure. I think they just Jeremy Swayman definitely came in clutch on a few big time saves, but for the most part, everything that was sent his way, he, you know, only had to make the first save. He had a clear look at it. And NHL goalies these days, you know, they're going to make the first save 90% of the time if they have a good look at it. So I think Jeremy Swayman made some good saves, but most of the part, like, they had 36 shots, I think you said.
Yep.
Most of those, I think, were not super high danger chances. You know, they were, they were straight on, easy looks. Swayman did great with his rebound control.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's kind of how I saw the game last night. It, Bruins took their opportunities, you know, especially on the power play, and then their defensive structure was just very sound.
Which is what you want to see, which is what you want to see from this team, what we expected to see all year. And we didn't really, you know, there were times throughout the year that that structure wasn't there. The addition of Andrew Peak has been unbelievable. I was very upset at the trade deadline when they gave up a third round pick for a guy that everybody was saying was going to be bought out at the end of the year, but he's been a fit and he's young and he's under contract. So I'll eat my crow on that. I enjoy eating crow because I eat it a lot when I talk on this podcast, as our listeners like to know and come at me on Twitter for. So for me, one of the big things that stood out to me, especially early in the game, and it's not just because he scored the goal, but it's Johnny Beach's play on that fourth line. He was flying around the ice out there, physical, putting bodies on people. I think they gave him the jacket after the game. The team did, because of how he played. He was noticeable out there in a good way. And I know he was sent down for a good portion of this season. I think it was because of cap reasons that he was sent down. Unfortunate that he couldn't have been up here the whole year. He's definitely going to be here all of next year. I think that's given. But he was a big, big factor, not only, again, because he scored the goal, but just seeing his energy level, his physicality was unbelievable. Another guy that stood out, physicality, Pat Maroon, dude. Mixing it up in every scrum, basically what you expected you were going to see from Pat Maroon when the Bruins traded for him is what you got. Putting, I think it was it Lindgren into the bench?
Yeah, it was Lilligren, yeah.
Yeah, whatever, however you say his name, yeah.
Yeah.
You put him right into the bench. I'm like, dude, this is exactly what the Bruins brought him in to do. And he's in there mixing it up every scrum that he's on the ice for. At the end, you know, the whistle in front of that, he's there getting a lot of power play minutes too, which having him sit in front of the net like that was, again, Ace and I have talked about it previous episodes. That's what Ace wanted to see. So he's going to be very happy when he comes back and talks about that. So he's been pretty much tooting his own horn because he called the trade before anybody was even talking about it, you know, months in advance, get Pat Maroon here. And it's a fantastic thing to, you know, see how he's fitting, knowing he's only played a couple of games. And yeah, Leaf side. Let's move on to the Leaf side. We can have some fun with this one. It's the same old Leafs. It's the same old Leafs after this game. Like, they have the offense. They couldn't finish. They couldn't beat our defense and elite goaltending. They obviously were down William Nylander, which is a big piece to their offense, kind of out of the blue. I don't think anybody expected that until game time, that he had some undisclosed injury that he was dealing with. But we're a goalie podcast here, so we're going to talk about the big, big thing with the Toronto Maple Leafs that they have not been able to get out of their way on, and it's the goaltending. Samsonov looked lost early in that game. Looked nervous, uncomfortable. Like the spotlight was too big for him. I was a little stunned that he was that shaky early on. Like, some of the, even before the goal went in, there was a shot that went wide and he looked like he got completely crossed up on it early on in the game. And I was like, dude, he doesn't have it. He doesn't look too good. And obviously I'm not faulting him for the 2-on-1 goal. I mean, if he had made the save on that, it would have been an unbelievable save, but that wasn't on him. He did settle down a little bit, I think, towards the end of the first, but the second period, the floodgates opened. He didn't have any help. The Leafs defense, again, same thing that we talk about with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They invest too much in their forwards and not enough on the back end and in their goaltending, and it's the same thing. I, for one, am here for it. I love it. I love the shots of Toronto's outside the rink there with all those fans out there like idiots when they're getting blown out. But yeah, what were your thoughts on where do you see the Leafs going with their goaltending for game two and, you know, further into the series?
You know, I think that is I mean, I would not be happy if I was in their head coach's shoes. It's going to be a tough decision. I mean, Samsonov has been there as of late. I think he had a pretty shaky start to the beginning of the season when Joe Wall was playing very strong, and kind of, you know, started the season as the starter, but lost the net to Joe Wall kind of not far into the season. But as of late, Samsonov has come on a lot stronger since Joe Wall had that ankle injury.
Yeah, after Samsonov was actually sent down to the minors.
Right, for a little conditioning stint, I think they called it. But it was really, a get-right stint type of thing, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he did not look great at the beginning of the game. You know, I think a few of the goals, if you're the Leafs, you definitely want saves on. Certainly not the first two-on-one there. That was a great shot by Johnny Beecher to shoot it across the grain there as he's just coming over and posting in too.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if it's me, I think I'm sticking with Samsonov for game two. You know, don't rock the boat as of yet. It's one game. It's not the end of the world. This series is still going to be a yo-yo no matter how well the Bruins played in game one. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Leafs come out and beat us 5-1 in game two. Like, it would not surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. So, if it's me, I stick with Samsonov, but another game like that, and I mean, you got to make the switch to Joe Wall after that. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did make the switch now, but
they also have Martin Jones as well. So they basically have three goalies that are mediocre, but could be, are playing decent enough to actually play. It's kind of like, we don't usually cross sports, but I think about football. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
So like you have three goalies, you have none.
Yeah.
The Bruins are an exception to that because they do have two guys that are number ones right now. The backup for game one is the reigning Vezina Trophy winner. So like it's a different situation.
Yeah.
But they got to figure that out quick. I tend to agree with you where I would give Samsonov another chance. He's game ready. He just played a game. So maybe shaking off those jitters a little bit and can get right. Putting another goalie in just now might rock the boat a little too much for the Leafs, considering they don't really have an established guy. But you go down, if they go down 2-0, you're absolutely making that change going home. There's no doubt about that for me. Especially if Samsonov looks off. If he plays extremely well and they lose a game like 2-1 or whatever, and he plays extremely well, then again, context, you're probably sticking with him for game three.
Yeah.
But if he has another game like today, gives up of a 4 or 5 goals, I mean, regardless of the quality of goals, your team's going to need a spark. There's your spark right there. Let's talk about the Bruins side of things with the goaltenders, and we'll lead into our game two discussion after this. But Jeremy Swayman has owned the Toronto Maple Leafs this year. I honestly was not aware, and this is on me, how much he dominated the Toronto Maple Leafs this year with 3 wins. I think he had he was sub 2 goals against, and like I think it was like a 95% save percentage against the Leafs this year, which was like unbelievable. And again, if I had known that, I wouldn't have been freaking barking at people saying this is a bad choice. I wouldn't have made this choice, you know. But like, at the end of the day, like, I'll eat the crow. Jeremy Swayman was outstanding in this game. I do agree with you with the types of shots that he saw. Weren't a lot of high testing type shots that he had to make. There were a few that he had to make, especially early in the game where he's kicking his leg out, keeping the puck out, which was outstanding to see. The Bruins have hinted at this year, and the fan base is all over it, which is why I'm so triggered when I talk about this. Ace and I have gone back and forth on this so many times, and I get so aggravated when we do it. I'm not sitting Jeremy Swayman down after a 35-save win, dominant win in game one. Adding in the fact how much he has dominated the Toronto Maple Leafs this year. I don't give a shit about the tandem. Oh, we got to rotate every other game. We got to do this. They did it all year. You got to continue it. Don't mess with it if it's not broken. But I'm sticking with Swayman. And it's no disrespect to Omark. If Omark was the goalie, I'd be saying the same thing. Stick with him until it fizzles out. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this. I know you kind of gave me a little wishy-washy response today when we were talking about it on Discord. I want to know, who is your game two starter, Blix? Who is it?
If it's in my shoes, now listen, I think you can make very, very good arguments for either starting Swayman or Omark, honestly. I think I completely agree with you. Look, Swayman was incredible last night. Even saying that some of the shots were not like he had lollipops all night, right? Like, he made a bunch of good saves, especially that leg save in the first before we even scored. That was very timely as well, even if it's not the hardest save he ever made. But again, for the last 25 starts in the regular season, no goalie started two games in a row for the Bruins. So I think there's an argument to be made where you stick with that. A lot of people want to see if it works. Jim Montgomery wants to see if it works, I think. But I, you know what? I'm glad it's not my job to make the decision because I don't know what I'd be doing. So,
oh, I know what I'd be doing. Well, I just told you, I'll die on the hill. I'll go down with the ship if I have to.
You're a one goalie man, that's for sure.
No, but in all seriousness, I don't know how they answer to, and again, not that they owe the media or the national pundits or anything like that an answer when it comes to their decision making like this. But what happens? And I'm talking hypothetically here. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night. By the time you all listen to this episode, you will know what happens. So I'll either have pie on my face or I'll be on Twitter gloating in front of all of you guys. What happens if Linus Omark goes in there and gets lit up? Like, what happens? That's a problem. That's a real problem if that happens. And I don't want that to happen. But if that happens, everything starts getting second guessed. Everything. Now you're in a series where you're tied 1-1. You're going on the road to Toronto for two. And the head games start coming into play. Whereas if you put Swayman out there, you're riding him based on his game one performance. It's by the time puck drops tomorrow night, Monday night, 6 days since Omark has played.
Right.
So that should factor into it as well. I want to get your thoughts on my, this is my theory on how they should handle it throughout the playoffs. If it turns into a deep run, I want to see if you agree with me. Ace was kind of wishy-washy about it, but they need to pick one. They need to pick one now. And they need to go with it. That being said, I'm not riding Linus Omark six games when it's clear something's wrong. That leash needs to be a lot shorter. They lose a game, you make the switch. I'm sorry, a 35 save performance in the playoffs in game one. What team right now in the NHL playoffs right now has that happen and makes a change in net? Zero. Yeah. There's zero.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. I also think there's not another team in the NHL that has a goalie tandem like the Bruins.
Fair point.
But I agree. I mean, it's also the same thing with the Leafs. If they, you know, say they put in Joe Woll for tomorrow night, And he has a stinker performance as well. Then what do you do? You know, yeah. I mean, you know, like it adds just then. Maybe you go to Martin Jones, but then if you know, like maybe he doesn't do well, you know. And then yeah, who do you put in for game four? Right,
well, so, you might be getting swept.
Right, exactly. So I'm not going to disagree with you because I think you don't clearly Jeremy Swayman has something, whether it's he just gets up for Leafs games more than any other game, or you know, I don't know what it is about playing against the Leafs, but he's got it on those nights. And that's really what you need going to the playoffs. You don't need the best goalie in the league. You need the hottest goalie in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, also counterpoint, I think the fact that Omark hasn't played in six games also kind of says, we got to get him in there too. You don't want, because you play Swayman again game two, which I don't think is a bad decision. But then, you know, Omark then hasn't played in eight nights, you know, and what if Sway, you know, if that's the point, I guess, you know, like, I don't, so that I see that as being like a tough way to make a decision. Cause there's also been, you know, Omark was injured at one point during the season too, and had mm-hmm. had a bunch of games off, and then post trade deadline, he was definitely the better goalie down the stretch. So I don't necessarily, I think these guys can handle days off. And
so I think it's a safe to say too, that both of these guys kind of underperformed the expectations of them going into this season. So
definitely
if one of them is going to get hot, why not see how far he can take them? And then again, as long as that leash is shorter than, say, having just like one Tuukka Rask in there and having a guy, a 38-year-old backup in Jaro Halak who hadn't played much, it's a different situation. You can have that short leash, but that momentum that can come from a goalie really getting into a groove and getting hot wins you Stanley Cups. Aiden Hill last year, prime example of that. Guy was like fourth or fifth goaltender on the depth chart at some point during the season. In the playoffs, he was like maybe the second or the third goalie that Vegas used, and then they rode him and he got hot.
Yeah.
And won the Stanley Cup. So like that's a great point. You know, when you talk about not needing the best, you need the hottest. And sometimes the best do get hot. See Andrei Vasilevskiy, that's happened plenty of times. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But we'll pause here. We want to get you over to our sponsor, DraftKings, a message from them. And on the flip side of that, we will get to game two. I do want to shout out our segment, Hat Trick with Patrick. It's going to be, he's taking a week off this week. He's dealing with a few things. So I just want to shout him out. Pat, we love you. Just thinking of you. And hope you get well soon, and we look forward to having you back on the pod in a couple of weeks. So here's a message from our sponsor, DraftKings.
The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way to the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can get the Boston Bruins at -125 to win the first-round series against the Toronto Maple Leafs before the season even starts. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, that's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
All right, we're back. Thank you to DraftKings for sponsoring our podcast here. Let's get into game two, previewing game two. We started doing it with the goaltenders. Do you expect to see any lineup changes? Other than talking about the goaltenders, do you expect to see anybody else on the Bruins roster maybe check out and have somebody pop in?
I think the only change that we could see is maybe Kevin Shattenkirk checking out. I don't think he had the best game. I don't think obviously he didn't do anything super detrimental. And I think his play style does fit what the Bruins need to do against the Leafs with quick breakouts and quick puck moving from the back end. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Kevin Shattenkirk check out for for a Parker Weatherspoon, especially the level of physicality that was in game one. It was, it was even more than I was expecting.
Same. And
especially from the Leafs. They came out hitting everything. There wasn't a one time where the Bruins passed the puck and someone didn't finish their check. Might have been a detriment to them a couple times, I think.
Undisciplined play, yeah.
Definitely, except especially from Max Domi. Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Shattenkirk only played, 14:03. And I think that's going to be a common theme no matter who checks in that 6D pairing, especially where Shattenkirk doesn't play any PK time. Mm-hmm. I don't think he played any time on the power play.
I don't think so either.
In game one. So it's not surprising that he had that level of minutes, but that's the only change I think I could see. I think from the forwards, you don't change anything. The fourth line was cooking. They were maybe the best line of the whole night. They looked great the entire time. Pat Maroon was exactly as advertised. Beecher had great energy and Boqvist just plugging away with how he's done all year, really.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's the only lineup change I think I would see. And then maybe Omark.
You got to throw that jab in there, don't you? I am 100% in agreement with you. That would be the only subtle change that I would make. This isn't a situation where I think JVR checks into the lineup. I think they just netted 5 goals. I know one of them was an update, but they just potted 5 goals. You're not changing anything up front. It's working. It worked well. We'll see what happens in game two. If that, you know, something after that maybe warrants a change. I'm not changing. Personally, I'll go out and say it. I'm not going to change a thing. Goaltender, defense, forwards, run it back, see what you can do. You're on home ice again. You kind of answered the Leafs' bell when it came to the physicality. I mean, they were showing, you know, the stats on the NESN broadcast of the hits, and it was always like within one or two as the game went along. So, like, you matched their physicality. And you were more disciplined doing it. You weren't doing the stupid stuff after the whistle. You know, Max Domi slashing Brad Marchand on the wrists. Like, you weren't seeing any of the Bruins making any kind of undisciplined type plays that Max Domi and the Toronto Maple Leafs were making. So I'm not going to change a thing. Let's see how it looks. 2 days later when they drop the puck and see what it does. Not gonna go any further. I'm not gonna even take the bait on your Omar comment there. I can't do it. I've been doing it. Ace, I'm telling you, when we were doing this, man, Ace and I would talk ad nauseum about this. And it's almost like, we need to stop talking about the goalies, man, because we just keep repeating ourselves and going in circles and triggering each other. So we gotta stop doing that.
Me as a goalie, I love to hear it, you know. I've listened to the whole time, so I've been loving it, but yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the hits finished 51-52 for Toronto. I mean, that's right down the wire, and I totally agree. I mean, right off the opening faceoff, you could see Max Domi. It's almost like they did it on purpose. Max Domi lined up right next to Brad Marchand, and immediately, you know, is basically just trying to throw out jabs to get him to do something. And Marchand was he did exactly what you're supposed to do. Didn't react. I mean, acted like the captain that he is for the Bruins. And that set the tone for the entire game. The Bruins were more disciplined. And it just, that was just the tone setter.
Absolutely. And I expect it to continue. I'm a Bruins fan. I expect it to continue. How many games a series go?
Oh, man. I, you know what? I said originally 7, and I'm going to stick to my guns. Like I said, even if the Bruins go up 2-0, I don't see this. I mean, this is going to be a back and forth series. Every single series, even though we have owned Toronto in the playoffs, every single series that I can remember goes 6 or 7 games, and they're all tight. I mean, they've all been physical just like this. So, I mean, Toronto was missing one of their best players, of course. We'll see if he checks back in tomorrow night. That'll be a huge difference maker for them. But I think it's going to be 7. And that's more exciting too, you know, hockey.
Intensity. Yeah. Oh yeah. The intensity of that. I mean, I don't know how much my heart can take anymore of game sevens. Game sevens against the Leafs are fun because the Leafs usually get their own hopes up and then the Bruins just squash them immediately. Well, not immediately, but squash them by the end of the game. And it's like in great fashion. I'm going to stick with seven games too, with my the caveat that I'm going to toss out there, as if the Leafs goaltending looks the same and the defense looks the same, and it's another blowout Monday night. Again, when you're listening to this, you're going to know whether we're changing. I'm changing my prediction or not, so I'm going to have to live by it. I'm gonna go a little shorter, because at that point the Bruins are in their head. They have the whole history thing behind them with the Bruins and the recent history, and then the long term history, as we touched on at the at the top of the podcast. That's the only time I'm gonna change it. But the playoffs are so different than the regular season. Like, the Bruins haven't lost to the Leafs this year. They're gonna lose to the Leafs at some point. Like, they're not gonna sweep them. That's definitely not gonna happen. The Leafs are gonna get at least one. But like I said, I'll stick with the seven, especially if it's Samsonov, he settles down, or if Wall looks halfway decent in game two, it's going to be a fight. And I expect that to be the way the Bruins play more or less the entirety of their playoffs, whether it's just the series or the entirety of it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a grind. Like, that's exactly they don't have the talent to really knock doors off everybody. It's all about the team, and they have guys that just fit what they're trying to do. Yeah. And that's kind of what I expect, going down the playoffs there. So it'll be interesting to see. When you listen to this, you'll have known that whether or not Blix or I were right about the goalie, whether or not we got something to worry about, or whether or not Bruins fans right now, we're going to be in feeling pretty good about ourselves. So we'll see. Let's move on. I want to touch on the rest of the games around the league, because like we just talked about at the beginning, it's that best time of year where you get so much hockey on, and all the series are in action. There's been some good games, and right from the start, like you touched on with Carolina and the Islanders, was an outstandingly close game. Carolina prevailed there. I think the Islanders outshot the Hurricanes in that game too. Freddie Anderson played really well for the Hurricanes. And then going into today, I was, watching a little bit of the Tampa Bay Florida game. That's going to be a good series, man. I really think that's going to be a really good series. The Lightning were held without a shot for, I think it was
like 15 minutes.
It's like 15 or 16 minutes. Yeah. The first period. Their second, as soon as I put a message into our, friend of the pod, Tommy, he interacts with us all the time. And I said, Tampa Bay doesn't have a shot, and they're 16 minutes in. And right after I sent that message, bang, they got a shot. They got the face off. Bang, they got a goal. And then, I don't know, it was like 2 minutes later, they got another goal. So it's going to be great. Those are two physical teams, playoff tested teams, great coaches, great goalies with, the two Russians in there with Bobrovsky and Vasilevskiy. Florida won this tight one 3-2. That's a series I definitely see going seven. That's a seven game series for me. And I think on my bracket, I picked Tampa Bay to win that series. I won't be stunned if it goes the other way. Whoever wins that series, I'm not going to be concerned about either one of them. I'm not going to be looking forward to playing.
I think this is the first time I've been excited about the Battle of Florida for hockey.
Definitely.
this is going to be an incredible series. And really, honestly, the final score was more of like a 2-1. Cause I think Florida scored an empty net towards the end, and then Tampa potted one with an empty net, with 10 seconds left or something like that. So, I mean, incredibly tight game. Both goalies played, they were both very, very good. Vasilevskiy was looked like normal Vasilevskiy rather than, mid-season Vasilevskiy that we saw this year. So that's going to be an incredible series. It's going to be tight battles the entire time. Probably, I think we'll see some overtime in that series too.
Oh yeah.
I don't think we'll see a lot of overtime in Bruins Leafs, to be honest. I think they're all going to be two or more goal games for all the finals. But yeah. And then the Rangers Caps game was not as close.
It was close until like I think it was in the second period. I was watching it, yeah, and the floodgates just opened.
Yeah.
Well, I was sitting down here playing in my basement, playing with the kids, and I'm watching. I see, oh, Rempe, or is that how you say his name? Rempe?
Rempe, yeah.
Rempe gets the first goal. I was like, holy crap, that dude just scored a goal. And then bang, bang, bang. And it was like, okay, this game's over. It's like 3-0. I think it was 3-0 at one point. It's like, this one's over. But go real quick, going back to Tampa Bay, Vasilevskiy is the reason why I didn't want to see Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs, because I know he's had kind of a subpar year by his standard. But again, we talked about it. Not the best, the hottest. If that dude gets hot, he's the best and he's the hottest. That's a problem. That's a real problem.
Yeah.
So I'm very intrigued to watch that series. You know, Bobrovsky's another guy. He did it to the Bruins last year. We know all about that as Bruins fans, as much as it sucks to talk about. But he got hot in that series and the whole playoffs, really. Got him to the Stanley Cup Finals. So those are two guys that are very capable of doing that. It's going to be fantastic to watch the two of them go at it against each other. The final game that we've got going on as we're recording here, there's one more late game. The late game tonight is Nashville and Vancouver. I'm not sold on the Canucks at all. I think they're a fraud team, and I think there's a chance that the Predators can squeak that one out, that series out. But Colorado and Winnipeg, I expect a kind of a battle in this series too. Those two good teams. The Jets have the edge in net with Connor Hellebuyck. I think he might win the Vezina this year. If he's not, he's going to be a finalist. If not, he's going to be a finalist again.
Yep.
Right now, as we're recording here on the 21st at 9:10 p.m. Eastern, it is 4-3 Winnipeg.
And I'm watching it right now. Winnipeg just scored
again. Oh wow!
It is now 5-3 Winnipeg on an incredibly close goal. I don't know who scored here, but. It looks like Adam Lowry cuts in front of Georgiev there, shoots it off the far post, goes off the other post, comes back across the goal line, and apparently they just reviewed it, and apparently they just called it a goal. So,
that's wild. That's
oh,
wild.
My God.
But we're a goalie podcast. We could talk about this right now. That series goaltending is going to come into play, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, we were talking about it right before we started the pod. I think Winnipeg had, what, 3 goals on 9 shots?
4 on 10.
Exactly. Yeah, even worse, right? So, and I think saw it pop up, but they got 5 on 18 now.
5 on 18.
So, and I mean, even Hellebuyck is not having the greatest game by his standards, 3 on 28. But, I mean, Winnipeg has the goalie edge there. A measurable amount. I mean, Georgiev has not been the strongest goaltender this year. He certainly has the talent and has had the talent since he came into the league, but seemingly can't put it all together and has been very inconsistent. So that's what the series is going to come down to. I think this series is going 7, and I think it's all because of the goaltending. If Colorado could find some good goaltending, I don't think it would be super close, but
I think they're the better team.
Yeah, definitely. They're definitely the better team. But unfortunately for the Avs, that doesn't always come down to to how the final score ranks out there, but I think this will go to 7, and I'm sure Georgiev will have some good performances in the playoffs as long as they don't take the net away from him after this one.
Yeah, it'll be definitely interesting to see how that plays out there. I do want to briefly try to talk about our who you got going to win all these series before we move into the fun, dirty stuff. I'm actually looking at your bracket right now. it's in our Discord. Me personally, I'll start. I have Tampa Bay over Florida, Bruins over Toronto, Rangers over Capitals, and Hurricanes over Lightning in the East. I have Vegas over Dallas in the West. I don't have my bracket in front of me, but I think I picked Colorado over Winnipeg. I might regret that one. I picked Nashville over Vancouver and Edmonton over LA.
We are pretty differing, I would say. So
I'd say so.
I mean, almost opposite, except for Colorado, at least in the West. I've got Dallas. And, well, I've got Nashville actually.
Yeah. So
yeah. I totally agree with you. I don't think that Vancouver team is battle tested. I think they're just young. They're an up and comer. They're going to be good for years. As much as I dislike Vancouver, but I also have the Kings. I've always been a Jonathan Quick fanboy. So it's Spurs from going to Manchester Monarchs games back in the day. He spent a season down there in the AHL with them back in the 2000s. Before he got the call up. So I've been a Jonathan Quick fanboy, and that's led to a little bit of fandom of the Kings over the years. But so I've got the Kings actually going to the conference finals.
I noticed that.
So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so I've got Kings, Preds, Avs, Dallas, and then in the East, I've got Tampa Bay over Florida. But I totally agree that one can go either way. Obviously I've got Boston.
Yep.
Don't have to guess on that one. I've got Rangers over Caps. I don't think that's going to be a long series.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I wouldn't be surprised if they sweep them, but probably five games. And then I have the Isles over the Hurricanes, which I think is a bit of a contrarian pick, but those Isles are a tough out, man. They show it year after year.
Well, what's funny is on my bracket, I think I picked Carolina to win the cup. So we're very different in that.
Yes. Aspect. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a great playoffs. I'm looking forward to, you know, tracking my bracket, see how I did. And just, again, watching that playoff hockey. I love it. I'm here for it. Also in the playoffs, and another adventure that you and I both partake in. Ace and I have talked about simulation hockey on this podcast a few times. We haven't really talked too much about my true endeavors into sim hockey and my introduction and everything. We do what's called, our league is called the RHL, and that is driven off a simulator called Simon T Hockey Simulator. I don't like shouting them out, but we'll get into that. But you introduced me to the whole concept. It's super addicting. You know, you basically take over an NHL franchise. You manage an AHL and an NHL team. You have prospects in the bank. You do drafts. It's basically as close to managing an NHL team as you possibly can get. Think NHL GM mode without actually playing the games. That's pretty much what I do with Blix here. He got me in. Funny thing is, we ended up in the same division. And we are both currently in the playoffs. We are not playing each other. Mr. Blix won the President's Trophy.
Second year in a row,
right?
I think so, yeah. It didn't work out for me last year.
No, it didn't.
We'll see how it goes this year.
He is the Colorado Avalanche. Blix has been in the league since its inception. So he was part of the whole fantasy draft that started, way back in the day when I was actually young. And I came in, I've been doing it now. I think this is my fifth or sixth year doing it. I'm the Winnipeg Jets. I came in 2018 is when I came in. So I think this is going to be in the summer of 2018. So I think this is going to be my fifth season going into my sixth off season. And I've completely rebuilt my team. You've done it multiple times. We have met in the playoffs a couple of times. I've only made the playoffs. I think this is my third year out of five I've made the playoffs. First two were not good. Last year I was the eighth seed and I took out Blix out of the blue. I didn't expect to win that at all. And it was a gentleman's sweep, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah. 4-1. Not my favorite moment in my RHL career, that's for sure. I want to say the league's been going for 12 years now, which is crazy to think about. Because I was like, I think I was still like, I was a freshman in college when it started. Well, that wasn't 12 years ago. No, that can't. I go, geez, there's no way.
But I think that's right. They were like the 2011.
2011. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I was literally a junior in high school figuring out this all out. So made a lot of bad decisions with my friends and whatnot. Yes, for sure. Shout out Anze Kopitar was my first pick in the draft at 11th overall.
Great pick.
Actually, the obviously, so it works. It's it, the engine works off of ratings that we create based on, you know, real life statistics, but all the statistics in the sim are separate from real life. And so Anze Kopitar at least at one point was the like leading scorer for the whole league over, you know, however many years or whatever. So I'm going to shout out my first pick there. And I also picked Jonathan Quick in that draft and still have him to this day. So that's might also probably, we'll see. That's definitely where some of the fandom comes from as well. So yeah, it's an incredibly fun league. It's, and that's a great way to describe it. It's be a GM on NHL as if you were to play none of the games and as if you were to only sim one game per real day. So that's another big thing about it is we follow the real NHL schedule.
Yeah.
So like when the Avalanche play in real life, my fake Avalanche play in real life, and same thing, you know, when the Winnipeg Jets play in real life, Burge's real, you know, fake life Jets also play.
It's the ultimate nerd experience. And like, I remember when you told me told me about it and invited me, said, "Hey, I got a team. You want to get in?" I was like, "What is this?" I am against fantasy hockey. I don't like checking my lineup every day. I don't like doing that. Let me say this. This is not fantasy hockey. It is not that. It is way more involved and at times more fun and addicting.
Yes.
Because you're making trades based on not only one season, but your future.
Right.
I'm one of those people that will trade all my draft picks to get as much youth on my team to have a lineup and then worry about that later. I don't think I have a first round draft pick. I think I had two last year because I made some trades, but I don't think I have one until like 2026. Like I've traded my draft picks away because I've built this core that I have. And
yeah. Yeah, you don't have a first until 2026, and you don't have a second until 2027 either.
So. Yeah, there you go. I'll find a way to recoup those. I'm a master wheeler and dealer. We'll see what happens. We do have a couple of idiots in the league. So
if you're listening, just like real GMs in real life, you know, they trade away the farm. Shout out Peter Chiarelli.
Yeah. Right now we are obviously. It's playoff season in real life. We're in the playoffs in the RHL sim world. We don't necessarily mirror the playoffs in RHL, the schedule in RHL world, because we have different teams that are in the playoffs that are not in the playoffs in real life. And so basically we just alternate days. Eastern Conference goes one day, Western Conference goes another day. And we basically just go as far as we need to go with the rounds and everything. We usually wrap up. I want to say we're pretty close to the Stanley Cup. It's not right on the dot, but I mean, we're within a week or two of it.
Yeah. And normally a little earlier. I think.
Yeah.
Cause also like in the Cup finals, it's every day, you know, because there's no alternation type of thing. And unfortunately both Burge and I played tonight and we both lost. In our game one series, Burge is playing against the Blackhawks, and I'm playing against the Stars. Our division, we're obviously both in the Central Division. Our division is just
stacked.
Bananas. It is ridiculous. I'm going to pull up the stats here in a second. But I think
five teams over 100 points.
Five teams over 100 points that all made the playoffs. So me as the one seed, I'm playing who am I playing? And Dallas, right? So I think they had 105 points this year, and I'm playing them as the one seed as the, you know, wild card two, because the you know, the other division. I think who made the playoffs?
San Jose.
Was it Anaheim Nashville that came in third?
No, Nashville's in our division. They got the other wild card slot, but it's Anaheim and San Jose, and they both have under 100 points. They both have under 100 points. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So San Jose with 96. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Ridiculous. Yeah. So I should be playing San Jose naturally, but it is what it is. Good old NHL playoff format. Unfortunately, we follow that one too. So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens this year. Chicago for me was a bit of a surprise in the RHL. I did not expect them to be as good as they were. the GM Tank is know him from other leagues. He knows what he's doing. So I'm a little worried about that matchup. I was really hoping CJ was going to get there because I took care of business with him last year and didn't really have too much of an issue there. So, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. It's like I said, if you haven't dove into the sim hockey world, and like for us, Blix and I are both dads, so we don't have a whole heck of a lot of time to sit and grind through an 82 game NHL 24 GM mode season. It just doesn't mesh with, you know, the lifestyle that we have currently. This is a perfect way to do it. You can, you know, every team in the RHL has a real person as a GM. We all have a Discord server together. We all talk to each other about hockey throughout the season. That's where we talk and make trades. You know, we sign free agents through there, and not only is it a fun concept, but you make a great community too. You talk, you know, we got about what, a third of the league is from Quebec. So a right. bunch of guys that speak French that we like to razz every now and then. And
I recently found out, I didn't know this for a number of years, but they have like a draft party that they yeah. get together we have an NHL entry draft every year, just like real life. And they like get together and drink. They were complaining about the time because it was on like, I don't remember what day, but they were Sunday mad because they couldn't yeah. get together. You know,
and we're like, you know what? We don't care. You guys all like the Habs. We don't care.
Exactly.
They're all Habs fans. We don't care.
Oh, man.
It's always fun. It's great to, you know, you have a lot of banter back and forth with the other guys. They're all hockey fans. We're all fans from different teams. A lot of Toronto Maple Leafs and a lot of Habs and a lot of Bruins fans in the league. So there's a lot of good, fun, you know, shit-talking, banter, whatever you want to call it. Nothing ever gets personal, but it's fun. It's fun, and everybody loves, you know, it's a great community. Everybody, you know, we don't replace GMs that often. The core 25 people in the league have been in the league as long as I've been here.
Yeah.
If not a little bit after. So it's like, it stays together. People are committed to it. And for me, it's opened my eyes. Like before I started doing this, like I didn't really know any of the rookies. I didn't know any of the prospects, any of the AHL guys. This has broadened my knowledge to this, and it's allowed me and kind of got me addicted to just scrolling through elite prospects and Hockey Reference when I'm laying in bed trying to go to sleep. And especially around trade deadline time, free agent time, off season, I'm going through and I'm looking at stats nonstop. And I never used to do that with hockey. So it's a great concept. And, you guys got any questions about it? You want to learn a little bit more about it? Hit me up on Twitter. Send me a DM. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome community. And, you know, there are times we're always looking for GM. So if people are interested, we're happy to, you know, talk to you about it. And, you know, myself on Twitter, you can find me and put you in touch with Blix. If you want to shout out your Twitter handle, you're more than welcome to. We can do that. And like I said,
I got to look it up.
It shows how active he is on Twitter.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, it's just Curtis Larade. That's Curtis with a C and then LARADE. So yeah, you definitely reach out to either of us. We're both on the council, as we call it. So we help run the league. And yeah, we're always looking for new GMs to bring just more activity and whatnot.
And tonight, just so you know, we help run the league, which means we run the sim every day. Tonight's a perfect example. We don't rig the sim. It's perfect. There's some serious honesty and integrity to our league. If Blix really wanted to, we'd re-sim it. If we both be, he would at right. least win. He'd at least win.
Right. But right. Like, exactly. Like theoretically,
take but the losses.
And that's also why we also like in the playoffs, make sure there's two people there watching at the same time.
Not that we have any issues with it to begin with. Not that we have any issues with it to begin with, but we always have that in case somebody decides to try to cry foul. We're like, nope, there's three of us there watching it, man.
Right.
Like, sorry, you lose.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. So yeah, it's a great time. I'm so happy you joined 5 years ago, and I'm mad that our other select friend hasn't joined because we've been trying to get him to join for years on end. But
we can trash on him. We can trash. We won't dox him or anything. But
yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Oh boy! But yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. So, well, we're at time. I do want to reach out, Blix. it's been a pleasure again to have you on the pod. We will do it again. As I told you the last time, it took a little while. I know it took a little while, but I told you we would have you back on here with us here on the Two Pet Stack. Really appreciate your time, and I thoroughly enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah, you too, man. It's a pleasure. I mean, obviously, we've known each other a long time. You know, talking is easy, and it's always great catching up, talking Bruins hockey, of course. You know, not that we don't talk enough about it, apparently, right? Always talking about it. So, no, it's a pleasure to come on. I'm always around to jump on whenever you guys need someone, and just happy to be here for sure.
Awesome. Thanks to everybody listening. If you guys got a plate of crow that you got to serve up to me, hit me up on Twitter. Have a good week. Peace.
You've been listening to the Two Pad Stack. Our passion is hockey. From Beer League to the Bruins, we friggin' love it. We love the Patriots too. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Twitter and TikTok at TwoPadStackPod. And find the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by searching Two Pad Stack. See you next time on the Two Pad Stack.
This concludes our broadcast day. Click.